DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. We obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
High fly ball right field. This one back. It's got a chance. And that one is gone. Nice piece of hitting, Ian Happ.
Here it comes. Line drive, base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Brujan scores. Ian Happ walks it off as the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2 in 10.
Gold Glove Award winner.
And deals. And a high fly ball hit to deep left. Happ going back at the track near the wall. Has a play and makes the catch.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
Gilly.
What's up?
Dude, you're in the clubhouse.
I am in the clubhouse.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
We love talking to Ian Happ, and we do so every week right here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. He joins us on their Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today, and Ian Happ is on the hustle. The Cubs Gold Glove outfielder hosts the Compound Podcast, which is now part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Hi, Ian. Thanks for joining us.
How you doing?
We're good. I actually made the point with our morning show earlier today that nobody uses a day off and all of the hours in it better than baseball players during the season. You had the day off yesterday. So what did you do, and what is your thought on that theory?
I think that's very true. I think we get so few of them that try to use every second you can. We flew out yesterday, so I was able to spend some time yesterday with family and hang out with the in-laws a little bit before getting on the plane, so it was nice.
What was the thought process in flying on the off day instead of, say, flying after Sunday night baseball? Was it just the timing of that game being so late?
Yeah, I think just timing of the game, and it's a short flight to Minneapolis, so just giving the guys a chance to spend some time at home and recharge, and just a short hour flight to Minneapolis, we were able to leave in the evening, no problem.
Is it tougher on a week like this when you know that break is coming, the All-Star break, to just not necessarily focus, but to understand I do see a light of some sort at the end of the tunnel?
No, I don't think so. I think it's nice to, we got two good series here to finish it up before the break too. We got, this Twin Series, and then we were going to New York playing the Yankees, and I think focused on these last six games and finishing strong going into the break, and then everybody get a chance to have their 3-4 days to recharge. But no, I don't think it's ever. It's a nice time for everybody to get to kind of recharge, and we got some guys going to the All-Star game. They're going to enjoy that experience, but I think you really focused on just day in, day out right now.
I think also what a difference a week can make is, here we were talking to you about the 500 month of June, and then you go out and respond as a team in a strong way to start the month of July at home, winning five of those six games. How do you describe the homestand that you guys just had, especially facing the division rivals last series?
Yeah, I think just pretty complete in terms of the games that we played. From defense was fantastic the whole week. Pitching did a great job, and just bullpen shutting it down. And the offense had a bunch of really good games there, putting up runs and putting ourselves in positions. And I think when you play a week like that of just pretty complete baseball through and through, where everything feels like it's clicking, it's a good place to be. And I think puts us in a really good position to, keep making the things that we believe are important to helping this team win.
I know it was a tougher week at the plate for you. Your team 5-1 on that homestand, but you only had one hit. How do you manage a time like that when you're going kind of through the ebbs and flows of the season? You're not going to be on fire the whole season.
Yeah, had a bunch of walks, got on base for the group. Hit some balls hard right at people. That's just part of it. Unfortunately, for where I've been for the last month or so, seems like everything I put in play is at somebody. And just understanding that that's out of your control, and doing my job to get on base, and had three walks one game, two in another, keeping that going, and understanding that it's can't control where you hit it. Keep working to make solid contact, and some of those are going to fall eventually.
I know you had a special guest on the latest episode of the Compound Podcast that we mentioned that you can get right here on Odyssey and the app. Justin Steele joined you guys. What did you think of just what he had to say, talking about, making sure I know that the Cubs were in his sights as far as a landing spot for him, and just also his conversation and his attitude right now during the year?
Yeah, it's just good to connect with him. He's going to be back with us at some point after the break to hang out for a week or so and check in. But, he's going through the rehab process. He's done this once before. He's really, familiar with what he needs to do to get back. And I think I know he's been watching every single game, but locked in, but you're just for him, he's a big part of this group, and we've been together a long time. A bunch of us have been together with him a long time. And so it's just nice to catch up with him and check in on how he's doing.
Is there a bigger hype man than Justin Steele? Because I don't know how much you pay attention to social media in season or whatnot, but he's always talking about the Cubs. Yes, you're right. We all know he watches every game because he's always commenting, whether it's individual plays, whether it's out here hyping up who should be an all-star. The man has not stopped.
No, I think it's great. I think it's hilarious. His tweets are really good, and he's locked in, and he's not afraid to speak his mind and say what he thinks of the boys. And it's really cool to see. He's always been a great teammate, but just how much he cares and how much he's dialed in on everybody. And like I said, a huge part of this team. And we miss him. We're excited to have him back in town for a week or so.
We're talking to the Cubs leadoff man, Ian Happ, and the segment is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. Ian, we had some fun. I know we talked to you about him last week. Matthew Boyd gets the nod to go to the All-Star game, and it's absolutely deserved. Our listeners took the ball and just ran with it. They started saying he's not the stepdad, he's the dad who stepped up. Then we had a bunch of people saying he taught them how to tie his tie. He taught them how to shave. He's telling you to not leave the door open. You don't want to air condition the entire universe in the summer. But the point is the responsible energy that comes with all the dad jokes and Matthew Boyd. To see him get that all-star nod, what does that mean to you? And do you have any thoughts on the dad jokes?
I don't have a lot on the dad jokes, but I think just an awesome thing for Boyd in his career. He's been great. He's battled injuries. He's one of the nicest people in baseball. And we all knew, and I think I said this on the program when we signed him, just from facing him, how good he was and how nasty his stuff was. And so for him to have already logged 100 innings before the break, he'll be probably pretty close to 110 when it's all said and done before the break. Just the quality and the consistency that he's brought to us is awesome. But just for him, his family, and his career, to get at this point in his career his first All-Star nod, it's really special and a really cool baseball story.
Speaking of the All-Star game, I'm just curious, Ian, are you good with the fact that in 2025 we're still giving every team a player at the Midsummer Classic? Do we need to look at changing some things? Because a lot of people are saying that we're past that point.
You know, having every team represented, I think, is probably important. But you want to highlight the great performances. You want guys that have performed at the highest level in this league to be able to represent their team in the All-Star game. And I think that that's kind of this part of when you get to this point. And we have a few guys that should be in that game. You know, with Say is leading Major League Baseball in RBIs. Michael Busch is a top five, top 10 hitter in baseball right now. You know, what Nico Horner's been able to do, I think he might be second in baseball and more amongst second basemen. And then Carson Kelly's one of the best catchers in the game. So, you know, you got, and that's excluding some of the bullpen performance that we've had that's just been exceptional. So, you know, it's tough because you want those guys to be able to play in the All-Star game and represent the Cubs and have that experience because they've played to that caliber. And so it's not a perfect format on the voting. It's not a perfect format of who gets in, but I'm really hoping over the next week some of those guys get in that game and can represent the Cubs because they deserve it.
Yeah, Ian, we were talking about it, and you know, Seiya Suzuki, I think, is a big snob, but when you're talking about DH and the company you're keeping is Kyle Schwarber and Shohei Ohtani, you know, I'll take that every day. I'll take Seiya being a part of that discussion, and it is a compliment, but it shows you how unfair it is, especially when you consider how talented the National League is.
Yeah, I mean, the National League is pretty stacked up, and you got guys that are on the team that are deserving. And so, you know, you don't want to take anything away from those guys. But I just think, some of the performance that we've, and you're always biased towards your teammates, but some of the performance that we've gotten to witness day in and day out, you know, you really hope that those guys can be representing the Cubs because, like I said, it's a special performance that should deserve some recognition.
Joined by Ian Happ here on Raheem and Harris as we have our weekly conversation with the Gold Glove outfielder. Ian, I'm curious as to your thoughts with Michael Busch now getting starts against the last two left-handed starters you guys have faced. Do you feel like he's reached a point now where he's going to be more of an everyday player?
Yeah, I mean, I think you've seen the performance, a couple home runs against lefties, and just some good swings overall. And I think he's always been comfortable against lefties. I think he's hit against them in the minor leagues quite a bit. And I think the more and more that he gets those consistent at-bats, he's just going to keep getting better and producing. And it's one of the hard things about coming in the game as a left-handed hitter or any young player is that, you know, that can happen from time to time where there's decisions made where you don't get as many of those left-handed at-bats and you get a little bit of a smaller sample. But you know, guy's got like a 950 OPS. So it was just really great to see him get opportunity and have some great swings and some good performance against lefties and what he's been able to do defensively too. It's just a complete package.
I feel like we've talked so much about people who have really kind of stepped up. You know, you mentioned Carson Kelly, of course. We talked about Matthew Boyd earlier. Who's somebody else that maybe deserves some more credit that we're not giving on the team for stepping up and really delivering in a role that you guys have appreciated in the clubhouse?
And there's so many guys. I think what Pomerantz and Flexen have been able to do, I think Danny Palencia, you know, with those guys in the bullpen and Keller, kind of the bullpen unit as a whole has been really spectacular, and those guys deserve Thielbar. I mean, those guys deserve a ton of credit for the way that they've gone about their business and the consistency that they've shown over the last 2-3 months. Like, it's every time, you know, we hand off a lead to those guys, we feel really confident that any combination of them are going to get the job done. And so just kudos to them. And I think that the guys that aren't everyday closers don't always get the recognition. But I think there's a handful of guys down there in that bullpen that have been absolutely lights out and deserve some praise for their performance.
It's certainly been fun to watch those guys, whether it's in an opener role, in a short role, in a longer innings role. I got to ask you, you just got Shohei Imanaga back. How much of a gut punch was it to lose Jameson Taillon for what Craig Counsell called a significant amount of time with that calf strain?
Yeah, obviously when stuff like that happens, just it's tough. And it's not something that, you know, was... He was trying to get his work in and get himself better, and that's kind of the tough part where, you know, he's working as hard as he can and something happens. So he's been so consistent for us and taking the ball every fifth day and giving us a chance to win. So we're, you know, we'll be excited when he's ready and is back. I think we've done a really good job over the course of the season of, as you know, as we lost Steely, as we lost Shota, just continuing to guys stepping up and filling those gaps. You saw what Wicks did the other night coming in and being able to give us some really strong innings. And so, you know, going into the break here, same thing. We'll continue to fill in those gaps and hopefully having that kind of 4 days off lets JMO have a little bit of time to get a little bit closer to getting back. The hard thing with the starting pitchers is that they do have to have that ramp up time after not throwing for a minute. So I know he's doing everything he can to keep his arm in shape, and hopefully it won't be too long of a rehab process. But, you know, he's working really hard to get back.
I saw your promotion of a camp that you are hosting as well. Join Ian Happ for a day of fundamentals and fun at his Jewel Osco Baseball Pro Camp. That is in partnership with Procter & Gamble. Open to boys and girls grades 1 through 8. It's on July 31st at Maine West High School. What can you tell us about holding the camp and what campers can expect to see?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We did it last summer, and so it was the first time I'd done it last summer. It was awesome to get the kids out and just be able to, be able to have a couple hours in the morning and spend some time with some kids from around the area and teach a little bit of baseball fundamentals, but just spend some time and see where, you know, these kids just absolutely love playing, and it's really fun to be a part of that. It's really fun to watch just the joy that they get from being out there and playing baseball for a few hours. So I'm excited to do it again and to spend some time with some of those kids.
Ian, I don't know if you saw or heard, but Mason Wynn was actually mic'd up when you had your play at first base where they ruled you out of the baseline diving and trying to be safe at first base. He said, that was him just not too long ago, and he definitely agreed that you should have not been caught out of the baseline. Have you had a chance to look back at that play? And I don't know if you heard what Mason Wynn had to say about it, but did your thoughts change once you saw the replay at all?
No, definitely didn't change. You know, I saw the replay, and, you know, I just trying to make a play to get to first base. You know, the rule's pretty clear on 3 feet either way. And, you know, when you're inside the two white lines, they tell you to run in. And you get caught out of the baseline, it's frustrating. It's not something that you can review. It's an umpire discretion call. And, you know, that it's unfortunate part of the game where you feel like you did something right and it's out of your control. Like I said, things haven't been going great for the last month as far as luck and balls dropping or hits. So would have been nice to have that. But, you know, being able to get the run in there and then, you know, the boys picking me up and scoring a few more was big. And you know, it's a fast play. That play happened really quick. And so, you know, umpire makes the call. And, you know, it's not what you want as the hitter or the base runner, but, you know, something that you can't change after the fact.
And also, I know, what's the latest with Parse Rum and the Compound Podcast and also Connect Roasters?
Yeah, the Compound has been great. It was great to have Steely on this week. We're going to record tomorrow, and we'll have it out again on Wednesday. So, or tonight, we're going to record tonight. We'll have it on Wednesday. So, the Compound's been going great, and we're working on our next meet and greet with Connect over at Brick House. So we're excited for that, and I think it's pretty close to sold out. So you can go to connectroasters.com and try to grab the last of the tickets there.
Thank you, Ian. And I know for people interested in tickets, you can go to ianhapcamp.com. That is correct, right?
Yes, correct.
Ian Happ Camp. Happ Camp. Somewhere in there is a fun pun, but I won't do it to you on the air. That's just cruel. And after all, you still have a little bit of time off before the game. Ian Happ, thank you so much for joining us on Raheem and Harris on the Score. We appreciate it. Have a great series today.
Thanks, Ian.
Thanks. Have a good one.
That was Ian Happ. Of course, if you missed it, you can go back and listen on the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. And yeah, as we mentioned, ianhappcamp.com. He's got it on his Twitter as well. He posted it on Instagram. So I know it's camp season for everybody who's got kids. It's good. Sounds like something fun to do, that's for sure.
Get them active and get them out of the house.
Yeah, that
off the couch, out from in front of the console.
It's that point that I think we were trying to help make. You know, yeah. I understand that that's that time of year. So that was Ian Happ. And continuing on Raheem and Harris on the Score, we're going to talk a little basketball because one of the biggest names, I think, when it comes to basketball commentary is trying to figure out the identity of the Bulls. Mm.
Good luck.
I think he might be off the mark, but it's worth listening to and discussing as a group next.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know?
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
But first, Pearl Jam.
This segment is brought to you by AlmostFreeTooth.com. Save on dental implants today. And that was one excerpt from the Bill Simmons podcast. This is Raheemi and Harris on the Score. The title of the Bill Simmons podcast episode that we are about to discuss is also upsetting when you consider even just the title. He spoke about the Bulls in the episode called The Bleakest NBA Team Situations Over the Next 5 Years with Ryan Russillo. The bleakest.
Did he call the Bulls the bleakest, though? Because wasn't it a direct comparison between them and the former Bullets, the Washington Wizards? I get it. it is bleak to me. I live it every day. We sit here and talk about the Bulls. People are asking me, oh, what are they going to get back for Vucevic? It's gone from that to, are they going to have to buy out Nikola Vucevic? It's gone from Josh Giddey, should they sign him to the qualifying offer? Should they pay him $30 million? Is there a plan to get better at an accelerated rate? Why didn't they take the trade for an unprotected draft pick from Joe Dumars and the New Orleans Pelicans for next season?
Which is now being called on that very podcast a bad trade for New Orleans.
Yes, it's a horrible trade for New Orleans. It's,
that's what you want. You want the bad trade.
You want the it was it, it
just
may
like
be
dealing with the Kings for many years. You want the bad trade.
They said it might be the worst trade in modern in the like last 15, 20 years.
No. First of all, it wasn't even the worst trade this season.
What was the worst trade this season
in the NBA?
No.
It is Luka and the fact that you didn't shop him. Might I remind you how many first-round picks Desmond Bane got you?
I understand, but they did not get a future Hall of Famer back in the Desmond Bane deal. They got Anthony Davis back. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's one of the allegedly greatest 75 players to ever play the game.
But the point is...
I know that's a point of contention specifically, and not just with you. And
but
not
the
just
reason
with you.
We're talking about both of these things is the importance of getting assets in the draft, namely in the first round.
Layla, I promised myself before this segment started that I would not allow my blood pressure to rise. We're going to discuss. I'm going to try not to yell. I'm going to try not to raise my voice, but I agree with you 100%.
The job is to have an opinion. If you yell, it's because you're passionate
but
about
I'm gonna,
something.
I'm gonna,
let it rip.
No. What I'm saying is I'm going to state my opinion without overmodulating the microphone.
F that. If I want to overmodulate something because I feel passionately about it, I do it. If you want a robot, go find, places where you find those.
Let's get to the cut. Let's get to it.
The point is, Bill Simmons was talking about, yes, the bleakest situations, and he did mention the Bulls in his podcast. I think it's important to bring up Bill Simmons because he is, to me, still one of the elite commentators of the NBA and observers therein. But it's the viewpoint that he had that kind of surprised me because those of us who live here and observe the Bulls on a daily basis know that it's a contrast to what you may think about the team. So he said that the Bulls had the bleakest situation in the Eastern Conference, which surprised me.
My number one was Chicago. I stared at it. They still have this Giddey RFA.
This is your least favorite one.
Yeah,
Chicago.
Here's why.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I don't love a single guy in their roster. Maybe Budzelis.
Like, at gunpoint,
yeah. I like Budzelis. Is he going to make an All-NBA team? I don't know. They have $85 million in expirings this season, right? So you think like, oh, look out for the Bulls, summer 2026. They've just never been that team. We've never seen it. They haven't paid the luxury tax in forever. They have
small
all their
market.
Firsts. It's a small market, big market team. I didn't like their first round pick this year. I don't know why they didn't make the Derrick Queen
trade.
The
Red Sox are like, what's the issue?
The Red Sox were like, I like what the Bulls are doing. I thought they should have made the Derrick Queen trade. Move back 11 spots. Get New Orleans' first round pick. But
it all depends on which version of the Derrick Queen trade you were offered, is I think what the lesson
is. We'll never know the answer. Kobe White's about to be a free agent. That scares me. Like, what is his next contract? That Patrick Williams and Okoro, 4 for 72 for Williams, 2 for 22 for Okoro. They have some expirings, but I just don't know what this team is. Like, where am I going the next 3 years? I know I'm not going to be like a bottom five team next year. Maybe I'll get lucky and win the lottery, but it just seems bleak to me. Who am I selling to my fan? If I'm a Bulls fan, what am I excited about? My owners have already made it very clear to me we're never going to really spend money. I don't think free agents are going to be like, man, I'd love to go to Chicago. They've done a job with the Jordan legacy where you never hear a player be like, I want to go to Chicago and reinvigorate the Bulls. That team really meant something. I just don't really know what this team is other than a team that's going to go 40 and 42 every year. So that's my number one pick.
He did give them an extra win from the norm of 39 and 43. So there's that.
To be fair, they were projected to win fewer games than they ended up winning this year.
Because that's what they do, because they refuse to tear down the roster. Everything that Bill Simmons just said, I agree with. There were other parts of the pod I didn't agree with, but I agree with that sentiment. That's what I've been saying for the last few segments we've talked about the Bulls. See, I almost lost it right there.
Yes, and they also compared on the podcast the situation going on with the Washington Wizards. And I think that's the question, is would you rather be in the Bulls situation or the Wizards situation? But here's my thing. I haven't seen anything about the Wizards situation that makes you encouraged about them being upwardly mobile.
Well, they tried to tank. It didn't work out for them in the manner that they had hoped, because it's not a guarantee thing. But one thing they just did was they got Cam Whitmore, and I was like, that's a guy that could do something on the Bulls currently, the way they're constructed, the way they're talking about doing things right this second. I think there's a lack of long-term vision in a short time spot. Do you know what I mean when I say that?
Yes, I do, because I feel like the Bulls are in a reverse scenario given that discussion. When you consider that Arturis Karnashova said summer 2026 is the flexibility that they have, when you understand that they until he's moved, and that's a big if, as we've seen, which does not surprise me, until Nikola Vucevic is moved, this is what you're talking about. He's got 1 year left, as we all know. That's a huge commitment for you financially. I think the Patrick Williams contract ends up being a big point of emphasis, even though it's more team friendly because of the assets that you have to devote in the draft to it. We think Noah Esengay probably replaces him as the starter at some point next season. And then also whether or not he can be moved. And then you have the guard redundancy, even though we love the guards when it comes to Kobe White, Ayodele.
Let me back up. Let me just pause right quick.
And then
quick.
Trying to figure out Giddey. So, like, yeah, I mean, I feel like this, I'm not willing to throw away this year. I'm not saying it is, but I don't think that they can do what they want to do until after this upcoming season if they can't move those assets we just discussed.
Two quick things. Do you see Noah Esengay as a starter this year? I never even conceptualized that as a possibility.
I know it's been discussed by people who keep more tabs on the Bulls actively than I do, and I think I keep pretty decent tabs. I think that the Modest Bouzelis plan, that's a plan. It's not necessarily a guarantee as to what we saw out of him, but I think that that's something that is an expectation for Esengay moving forward.
I think Esengay could be a starter.
Not like he's starting like at the beginning of the season.
No. I'm saying just down the line. I just don't see him. He can't shoot. And I don't think the Bulls have enough shooters to be like, there's a guy who can't shoot on the court right now. Just based on what we think the roster will look like, and especially if they do move on from Vooch before or even during the season, you got to have guys who can put the ball in the basket from distance, at least be a threat from distance in the modern NBA. The other thing is, this kind of plays into why that trade, or lack thereof, was so awful in terms of getting the unprotected pick from the Pelicans next year, is because when you talk about financial freedom next summer, here's the best part about the financial freedom. If you play it right and have that pick in your back pocket, you can use that as part of a sign and trade, whatever.
You can help, and you can also help move somebody's contract who might not necessarily be movable.
There's no,
that's my thought.
Yes. Also with the Patrick Williams contract as well, you can wipe the slate clean, or you can use that pick to get either a superstar if it's high enough, or get an actual NBA superstar that's further along.
Which we've discussed. Bill Simmons also said this on this podcast, as you're listening to Raheem and Harris on The Score. He called out ownership. And I think we know that this is an unlikely scenario. And when I say unlikely, I mean 95%. But the national viewpoint is not a bad one to at least understand how people are talking about this team.
I'll go 99%, by the way.
Yeah. But the point is, it's not happening, but just listen and see what you think.
I think this has been a criminally misused asset for really since Jordan left, when instead of going for the seventh title, they said, oh no, we're going to rebuild. We're smarter than everybody. And from that moment on, all they did was cheap out. And basically they're in the third biggest city. They're just cashing all this revenue that you get from being in Chicago, all these people, these generations of people that grew up on the Jordan's Bulls or remember the great days. And so they keep their tickets and just kind of wait for something good to happen. And nothing good is going to happen with these owners. And I just feel like if I was like a kajillionaire, that would be the team I would try to buy. Because if you can reignite that team and rebuild them and tap into the Jordan DNA and Pippen and the, you know, bring those guys back and give Jordan a ceremonial position and really like ignite it, I think that would be a really special franchise. And right now it's not. I think it's the worst situation in the East.
He wants to bring back Michael Jordan in a ceremonial role and get the band back together with Scottie Pippen. Michael Jordan's not coming back here for that.
Michael Jordan wasn't even here for the Ring of Honor game.
Like, what are we talking about here? And this is where the, I don't want to call it out of town stupid, but out of town, out of touch comes into play. Is that a fair statement to use describing that?
Yeah, because I don't think Bill Simmons is out of town stupid. I think it is a point where at least you want to know what is being said to glean some sort of intelligence or information that you didn't have before. It does make sense. It would make sense that there is a bigger connection there between those teams and trying to capitalize on it. But that's also a two-way street.
I look at this specifically from the what ownership could do differently, and I know what they're going to do, which is fill the building. That's priority number one. It's played out that way for several seasons now when they have not been in the playoffs. So we know what that is, and this idea that they would sell, because we know what the Reinsdorfs have openly stated about which team they're keeping, which team is going when Jerry passes on from this mortal coil that he's in currently.
I just think the concept of ownership changing, that just because there's not a for sale sign in front of something doesn't mean it's not. But the likelihood of that happening is incredibly low. When you consider how Jerry Reinsdorf is preparing to move on from being the White Sox owner.
We're seeing it right now.
Michael runs the Bulls, period. As for whether or not you get a mission statement that pleases you if you're Bill Simmons, or you try to figure out how bleak their situation is in the Eastern Conference, I wonder if maybe a year from now I'm a little more pointed about this if we don't know. But since that part of it was told to me, and I'm still trying to figure out how to build a team in this new CBA world.
Why?
Until you have a cachet of draft picks, a cachet. Like, I think that means at least like three or four that you want to do something with.
What's funny about what you just said is, forget about cachet. I can't imagine them having extra picks at all. They don't have extra picks.
You can name the teams who have caches of draft picks.
They'd start with the Thunder.
Right. That's the biggest of the caches.
You're going to be very frustrated a year from now if that's what you're looking for them to somehow get a cache of draft picks.
No, I just think they'll be more flexible when it comes to defining starting roles on the team. Like, they'll have more assets that they can either... Vooch will be... At that point, that contract is done.
If there's a buyout and you get no draft compensation for Vooch, I will remember one of my things, my two things. Yeah, that's what we're looking at right now.
And I hate that I'm talking about him like it's a bad thing.
Vooch wants out. It's cool.
This contract on this team does not work as we previously saw it.
Yes.
And I feel the same way about the starting four, unfortunately. We have halftime coming up next here on Raheemy and Harris on 670 The Score in the Odyssey and iHeartRadio apps. You and I have a bone to pick with society.
It's not a bone to pick.
Oh, no, it is. No, for me, it is a bone to pick. I love how I say something and then you're like, it's not this. Well, then you tell me what it is before we go to break.
I think people of a younger age are looking at things through a different lens than we did at their age. And they're calling things differently than what we would have called them back then.
I think you and I have two different stories.
Oh, I thought we were doing micro retirement. Are we not?
Oh, I have a bone to pick that you will agree with on the other part of that.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's why we do this. Raheemy and Harris, 670 The Score.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Meet Natural Cycles,
the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
That it is. We began the show congratulating Michael Bush for getting co-National League Player of the Week, because when you share an award with Zach Wheeler, that means you're pretty good. So congratulations to Michael Bush. We also talked about the White Sox and Colson Montgomery making his home debut yesterday. Congrats to Colson Montgomery. Ian Happ joined us at 11. He has a camp coming up for the kids on July 31st. And we talked about whatever Bill Simmons thinks of the Bulls' identity.
It's halftime.
All right, this is the bone that I have to pick with society.
Let's go.
And you actually are on the same page, because we figured out which stories. You sent this, and Marshall in our group thread yesterday goes, this is for you, Layla. And boy, is it. This is from Faces Magazine. Being stuck walking behind slow walkers increases blood pressure measurably, study says. Yes, it does. What are you guys doing? Like, what are you doing when you walk slowly on a sidewalk in a city of 3 million people where you see people walking on the sidewalk and you proceed to either A, take all of it, B, stop in the middle, C, walk on the wrong side, or D, walk so slowly that you're causing a human traffic jam? How are you that out of touch? First of all, you have no spatial knowledge. Like, if you're on a football field, you're getting tackled 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage because you don't seem to pay attention to your surroundings. And I'm not seeing people on phones. I'm just saying naturally slow walkers. Some people are walking slowly because they can't walk fast. Those people I'm cool with. But the ones who are just dilly-dallying, why? Why are you dilly-dallying?
I understand an afternoon stroll, a morning stroll, an evening stroll. I understand the concept of that. But I will say this. If you know that you're not in any particular hurry and you're just taking your time, just like they have the slow lane on the road, they have the slow lane on the sidewalk. It's the farthest to the right.
My favorite is the people who walk on the left side next to buildings, and then when you make a turn, you run into people, and then they look at you funny. What? Do you just look at everybody funny that you pass because you're in the wrong? Do you drive? What's happening there?
Do you guys get this feeling when you're walking behind someone that's too slow and you're a little too fast and there's not a way to get by them that you feel like creepy? Like, oh no, I feel
no,
like...
No, you have to accelerate.
No, I do the opposite.
You accelerate.
You know my dream job is linebacker. I want that quarterback to hear footsteps.
See, I feel like as a tall person, I feel like they think like I'm creeping on them, but really I'm just trying to get by their ass and
go
to where
like,
I need to go.
You're in a city we share. You know, in the city you share space. You have to be mindful of others. So do that.
I love that there's a name for this. It's called spatial entitlement stress. That's the name as given by the journal. Your brain perceives it as a loss of control, a time threat, a social friction trigger. Even mild exposure has led to increased heart rate, and higher cortisol, and your favorite, Layla, irritability and more critical self-talk afterward.
It's not even that to me. For me, it's the opposite. Like, I know it's not my space. That's why I'm not trying to take it all up.
No, I get it.
I love this. This is from our Twitch chat. Take a deep breath. Appreciate the day. No need to rush all the time. Wherever you go, there you are.
Wrong. We got places to be.
Yeah, this is... No, no.
I walk to and from work every morning.
You walk around in the city and see how you feel about people just staring off into space or not caring or walking in the middle of the sidewalk. Like, when you're in a group, you see a flow of traffic. It's just like driving.
All right. So that's us dealing with that. Here's the headline from Forbes, Layla. Micro retirement, the new career trend rising amongst Gen Z. Gen Z workers paving the way for the next generation of workers by continuing to prioritize a healthy work-life balance. This is crazy. So Gen Z set to outnumber baby boomers in American workforce for the first time last year, shifting workplace dynamics and transforming the workplace's culture. Apparently, they want to take time off, and they are prioritizing every 18 months or so, 12 to 18 months, to take 2 weeks off at a time, 1 to 2 weeks off at a time. And back in my day, we called this something. We called it a vacation, but apparently it's now called micro-retirement. I don't understand it, but I'm trying to.
No, what do you mean? They just rename stuff. They do it all the time on TikTok. Like, they call tips life hacks. That's the whole point now, is you just find a new way of saying the thing that's already there. Also, it just sounds like a way for corporate America to try to prevent you from taking more time off. Because retirement sounds so final, doesn't it? Never mind the fact that it's your by law, if you have a full-time job, allowed time off that you're permitted to take. Micro-retirement, because you took a week off every 6 months. Yeah, that's a vacation. And you're allotted that by the law. Like, look up your benefits in HR.
I just don't understand people who do not take time off. I understand if it's very early in your career and you're trying to do a specific thing. But if you're not trying to do a very specific thing, take your time. That time is, when you work somewhere, it's part of your employment, is the fact that they will pay you to not be there. Take the paid days. Otherwise, you're working for free, essentially.
And also, yeah, mini retirement is like what happens when you're in between jobs. I wouldn't necessarily call that a vacation. Also, I saw that on the Merriam-Webster social media account, which I'm pretty sure is still run by our friend John Sabine.
What'd they say?
Well, that was the comment about the word being vacations. They're called vacations.
Yeah. Now, are we angry people yelling at clouds? I don't think we've crossed that threshold yet. But I will say, I get it that people are looking at it differently because of the way corporations are just trying to squeeze the life out of younger workers specifically, because jobs are hard to come by. So, like, now that we got you here, and that's kind of the point behind unlimited vacation. It's like, yeah, what they found through studies is if you give employees unlimited vacation, they're less likely to take what would be a normal vacation at another company because they don't want to feel like they're abusing the system. Which is crazy.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily mind a new name for something. I like creativity with words, but at the same time, it's just called time off, guys. It doesn't have to be that deep or that ceremonious. Don't let it be, frankly. A mini retirement is like when you take a year off between jobs or something.
I've had several mini retirements or micro retirements. I guess I've had that already.
Yeah.
Between my last full-time job and this job, I took a whole summer off. And then before the last employer that I worked for, I took 9 months off. And I was like, this is good. Life is good.
I feel like that happens in media. Like, the jobs are not linear.
They're definitely not linear. Because, you know, we do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We do everything. Also, I want to remind people to keep listening for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Cubs versus Kansas City at Wrigley Field, July 21st. It's all provided by Bosch Power Tools. The more you Bosch, the more you feel like a Bosch.
I like it. We have more coming up next on Rahimi and Harris on the Score. We have five on it, a lot of baseball, and a discussion that I think affects us all.
It unfortunately does, yes. And I think I, as passionate as you were about these topics, and I was also, I'm very passionate about that topic you just mentioned.
847, I saw something called a wedding birthday where you go on vacation or celebrate around the day that you got married. It's an anniversary.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, more next on The Score.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know?
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.